Welcome back to the Mike Shamiri Show. My guest today is one of the best drummers I've seen in a long time. He was recently at the Long Beach Jazz Festival in Long Beach, New York. Please welcome drummer John Favicchia.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Okay, wonderful. Well, let's start in the beginning. How did you first get into drumming?
Oh, wow. That, you know, many, many years ago. I think it's somewhere around 20, 24 years ago now. I started playing in local bands and with friends, basically. But the first time I really got serious, I was probably around 13. I started, you know, taking some lessons and starting to take it serious and do some, you know, I guess I would say regular practice. Before that, I was playing a lot, but I don't think it was anything really serious. You know, I was just kind of experimenting and, I guess, getting familiar with the instrument.
Okay. How did your career begin?
Well, the career, you know, that's interesting. Well, it really depends on what you're going to define career as, you know. Mm-hmm. I decided to become professional when I was like around 16 or 17, and that's when I started doing my first professional gigs.
Okay.
And ever since then, I did many, many different things to keep, I guess, what you'd call a career going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As when I was younger, I was in college. I went to a music college, and while I was attending college, I was playing all kinds of local gigs and studying from, like, the top drum teachers in the country. And I'd actually do some weddings and whatever I could to make money, you know, and also keep my progress as an up-and-coming drummer going. I was always very serious about studying and getting my level to a really high level.
Okay. Well, we're talking with John Favicchia here on the Mike Shamiri Show on Web Radio WCWP. Tell us about your two studio albums, World Time and Dharma.
Sure. Well, my first studio record, World Time, was done back in 97. Some tracks were done in 96. I was doing a lot of touring in Europe with a really great trumpet player at the time. His name was Lazo Deci. He's basically the Miles Davis of, like, Prague. He's got at least 30 records out over there, and he's an older gentleman now. And I was just on the road constantly with him in Europe playing just great shows, and the music was fantastic. It was very inspiring. And I was playing on a lot of other people's records, and I said, you know, I really wanted to kind of do my own thing because I was hearing the music differently, and I had some things that I wanted to say, you know, on my own. So World Time kind of came out of all that playing and working with some of those musicians that I was on the road with. And wrote some tunes and got into the studio. And if you notice on the record, interesting enough, there's probably a good 18 different musicians on that record. And so when I did the record, I kind of would choose all different players I thought would fit the song. So I kind of took it like a compositional way, whereas I had maybe like a real Latin-y tune. I hired some of my Latin guy friends, some percussion players, and a couple trumpet players I knew that were really their forte within Latin music. So I kind of just developed the record as I went, and I kind of had no format, which was interesting, too, because I talked about the record a lot in the past, and many times albums have to have format. It's either got to be a Latin record, it's got to be a rock record, it's got to be a fusion, it's got to be a jazz record. I kind of just took it tune by tune and musician by musician with that record, World Time. And the next record I did, quite a few years later, I went out and supported the record. We played as much as we could. And then I really felt like my playing had grown a lot, so I really wanted to kind of document my drumming where it was, and that's when Dharma came to started happening. And I started, you know, writing again with some friends and taking that whole project serious, too. That was the Dharma project. And you know, it's funny you mentioned those two records, because Dharma was done in 2001, and, of course, it's 2005 right now, and I'm just recording my new record now. And the reason for it is because, once again, I feel like my drumming has got to a different new level, and I kind of want to document it. That's really where I come from with these different recordings.
Okay. We look forward to that new album.
Cool.
Well, tell us about your live album, Dharma Live.
Yeah, that was a funny thing. The Dharma Live record was really just a bootleg. We play once a month in a club here locally in New York, Rockville Center, and we've been playing there for quite a few years. And every night I would take a mini disc, portable mini disc player, and record the band just to see what we're sounding like, to see how the band is playing, how the parts are, just to kind of listen back and have my own my own self just to grow and make sure that the band is sounding good and that kind of thing. And after a while, we play so much, I had quite a few discs, you know, like 30 different discs sitting here. And I listened back, and I was like, to a couple of them, and I was like, you know, a couple of them really were really excellent playing and captured a lot of what the band is like live, and the tunes from the two studio records that we play live came out so different live. We really changed them around. So, you know, I should really just document this and put this out a little bit as a bootleg. It's definitely a one stereo mic live recording. It's not like a big console live recording where it's high-tech sound like we get in the studio. But I thought I'd just call it, you know, Dahmer All-Stars Live Bootleg, and just kind of get it out there to represent what the band sounds like live. And that was then, I don't think 2001, about 2002, something like that.
I think it was 2002.
Yeah, exactly. And we've, you know, the band now with all these new members in it the last 2 or 3 years is even at a total new level. So we got to get them a live thing happening with that as well, another new one.
Okay, and we'll look forward to that when it comes out. We're talking with John Favicchia here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Tell us about your association with Vic Firth Sticks.
That's funny you say that, too, because I know you were at the last festival we played, that Long Beach Jazz Festival, and I don't know if you were there for the funny thing, but when I was done, I did a small set with Keeley and Steve Edison, and after the set, people came up to me before I went on with my own band, and they were saying, Vic, you sound great, you sound great. And, you know, the funny thing was, I realized after like 4 or 5 people came up to me that they think I'm Vic Firth, who is a very well-known classical drummer who started a big stick company called Vic Firth Sticks. And so, you know, one of the things I do as well as play with my band and also do, you know, live gigs with other artists, I also do drum clinics. And the drum clinics I do all over the world are sponsored by all the companies that endorse me. And one of the companies is the Vic Firth Stick Company. So hence, I have some of these stickers on my bass drum. So when I have different press shots, different things happen, the companies like to see some advertisement there. So I was getting a lot of that at the Long Beach Jazz Festival, people thinking I was Vic Firth, and had to make an announcement about that. But no, Vic Firth's a great stick company, and they're really supportive for me. They do a lot for me in terms of when I go out and play these seminars. They help me out a lot, and so does my other companies, which is Yamaha Drums and Sabian Cymbals and LP Percussion and Hands and Foot Practice Pads and Pedals, and that's about it. So they help when I do these drum seminars. And the drum clinics are interesting. I don't know if your listeners know about what a drum clinic is, but shortly, it's just basically, it's like a drum seminar. I go out and I play by myself and sometimes with some music for a little while, and then I basically speak and teach and answer questions and that kind of thing. It's more of an education type thing.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Keeley before, Keeley Minucci. How did you meet him?
I know Keeley for many, many years. I mean, I can't remember, but I met him at gigs. You know, I was always into his music and into his band, Special Effects, when I was younger. I was a big fan of all their records that were put out on the GRP level, GRP label, actually.
Label.
And just from, I guess, you know, being here in New York City and running around and hearing him play all the time and hanging out, I got to know him quite a bit. And we did some recording on my my Dahmer record together. And I actually he has a studio in the city that I was sharing with him for a while. We were working together in the city, and he you know, plays in my band, and we become real good friends. We hang out socially, and it's been he's a great guy. So it's been a great thing to be hanging out with him, and also lucky to have such a great, you know, musician in my band. So it's been a great thing both ways. Nice friend and a great acquaintance to play with. So it's been phenomenal. But yeah, I guess long story short, we just from listening to him playing a lot and hanging out and getting to know him and going to his gigs and that kind of thing many years ago.
Okay. While we're talking about people in the Dahmer All-Stars, how'd you meet Bill Heller, who's also the keyboardist for the Rippingtons?
Again, Bill is a local guy here, and we've played throughout the years. And you know, it's funny, when it comes to Bill, I've known him quite a long time, and I think he was recommended to me by somebody to do the gig, and I just called him and we played, and he's just he's a monster player. I mean, once he comes in the band, you don't want to ever let him go again, you know. So we've been playing for many years together, and you know, we've been strictly on a professional basis in terms of, like, I didn't know him as a real close friend first, you know. kind of like I needed a keyboard player. Somebody recommended him. I called him. He came and did a great job. And ever since then, we've been friends and hanging out. And now he's in the band full time, you know, that kind of thing. So a little different than with Keeley, where we were kind of friends before we played, you know.
Mm-hmm. What particular memory do you have from the live performances?
Which ones?
Anyone.
Like a particular memory?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'll tell you, the band these days is really sounding great. I mean, I have a lot of just great positive memories of the last few years. I mean, the band has gotten to the point now where we have a real nice flow to our set. Everybody in the band, although I have quite a few musicians on each instrument, because sometimes they're on the tour and I have to use a different guy. But other than that, everybody that is in the band and knows all they know the music very well. And the band has just been just taking all the music to different heights, and I think we're enjoying it more these days because it's just so easy to do because everybody knows the music so well, and everybody's level is really, really high. So we've just been playing our butts off, you know. It's been really just a lot of fun and no stress at all. We just go out there and play, and my whole theory with this band, particularly my own thing, is that it's really about to go out and play to our fullest and to have fun. There's no rules. So some band leaders will be like, I'm the band leader. I got to be the guy that is noticed, and you got to play as a side musician. You know, I'm just like, go and play your fullest. So that's my whole thing. When guys come on the band and they know that I want them to go home tired, you know, they're not sitting there backing up anybody. They're playing their buns off.
Okay. And we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, the interview's almost over. We have one final question. What do you hope the future holds for you?
The whole goal for the whole thing is to play more and more and more gigs a year. We just keep building on it, you know. It goes from a few a month to 10 a month until we'd like to be on the road, you know, full-time, 25 gigs a month, playing as many places as we can possibly play.
Okay. Well, John, thank you very much for this great interview. They're all great, but this one was great, too.
Thanks so much.
Okay. This has been John Favicchia here on the Mike Shamari Show, and we'll be right back with a song by him.